Hey, do you want to know where you can go check out the latest podcast and your favorite MLS, USL Championship, and League One team? Then I will tell you to go check out BGN, Big Beautiful Game Network. The website is bgn.fm. What's going on, everyone? This is Elliot Barr, your host for River City 93, and I have a very, very special guest today. You want to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, Matt Spear. Elliot, thanks for having me on. I am a servant leader for the club. Somewhat title I also go by as president and general manager.
All right. So that sounds very fancy. I just want you to know that. Sounds way above my pay grade as a teacher. So you just tell us a couple of things about yourself. How did you get involved with the club? Why did you get involved with the club? Your backgrounds in soccer, you know, Davis and all that stuff.
So I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where Wake Forest is, and went to Davidson. While I was at Davidson, played college soccer there. Rob Ucrop was one of my teammates. We made a fun run to the 1992 Final Four, which is the only Final Four experience of any sport at Davidson. And I say that even with the great Steph Curry that went there.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're Steph Curry before Steph Curry, I would imagine. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He only went to the Elite Eight, but look what he's done. So the guy's skyrocketing. He's an amazing ambassador for Davidson. But played with Rob, and Rob was kind of like Davidson soccer Steph Curry. He number retired, first team All-American, leading scorer in the country. But after that, I went into sports marketing and worked on a lot of internet and TV projects funded by Adidas. Okay. And lots of fun projects during the 20s. Did a lot of college soccer telecast. Started doing internet sites. CollegeSoccer.com, InternetSoccer.com, WomenSoccer.com. Did all that through my 20s. And then turned 30 and was fortunate that the company that we had started was acquired by a Leeds, England-based company called Team Talk, and they wanted to go a different direction, and it basically provided me the kind of burst or opportunity to try something else.
Wow.
So at age 30, I moved into college sports and became the Division I coach at Davidson, my alma mater, where Rob and I played.
So how was it coaching experience at Davidson? I'm assuming you had to be very successful to have to jump out. How was it being... I'm assuming that was your first coaching job, so how was it there at Davidson?
It was, every job I've done, people are like, whoa, why are you going to do that? You know, that's not really in your background.
Yeah.
And I like to prove people wrong. I like to try new experiences. I'm a lifelong learner. And to me, you know, for a lot of people that play college sports, to get an opportunity to coach at your alma mater is kind of a dream come true. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, leaving the private sector to go to the college world was kind of a weird career step.
Yeah.
Huge paycheck, loss there and cut. But I did it because my heart told me it was the right thing to do at the time. And love college sports. And to me, college sports are kind of the perfect fusion of kind of mind, body, and soul.
Yeah.
And I grew up, as I said, in Winston-Salem, a few blocks from Wake Forest. So I was always around an academic setting. So going back to work at a college environment, raise a family there, made a lot of sense. But it was tough. I knew the game and I knew the college, but I had to really ramp up my coaching abilities and did all the licensing course and got a U.S. Soccer A license along the way. And soccer coaching to me is, it's not brain surgery or rocket science.
Yeah.
My biggest fear as a coach was getting in the player's way. It's a player's game. That's why it's so globally popular and why anybody can play it. Doesn't matter what your size or color or age, what have you, where you are. You don't need a lot of equipment. And a lot of it is just put together a great group, have a good culture, and then get out of their way and let them run with it.
Okay. Right. I will say this. Besides looking like Steve Kerr, you seem to have like the Steve Kerr mentality of letting the players play their position.
I mean, I love the Warriors. Obviously, Steph's there. And as you know, I'm a huge Curry fanatic because he's a Davidson connection. And I really believe in his the way he plays. He's changed the NBA, quite frankly. He's a great ambassador for Davidson, family guy, the whole thing. But Steve Kerr is a mastermind. And I love other sports. I played every other sport growing up. And basketball has always been my second favorite sport.
Okay.
So I follow the Warriors passionately. And I do like Steve Kerr. People say I do look like him. Can't tell that on the radio right now on a podcast. But I do like the way he coaches. And
okay.
The players really respect him as well.
So let's talk more about your role into the Kickers. How was it when, I'm assuming Rob Rucroft came to you and was like, hey, Matt, I want you to be the president of the Kickers. How was that mentality for you?
So I've always followed the Kickers. I've always known about them because Rob's from Richmond. I know his family very well. And we would come up and play the University of Richmond when I was a player at Davidson and was familiar with VCU as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was a really cool city. And so just knowing that background, then Rob played with the kickers forever, you know, and he was the all-time leading scorer until Dudley passed him a couple years ago. But his number retired, and I just knew about City Stadium. My first City Stadium experience actually was during the mid-90s, after Davidson hosted the Final Fours in 92, 93, 94, had 8,000, then 10,000, then 12,000 in the final. The NCAA decided to step it up and go to a larger stadium, but still keep it in the Southeast. They moved it to Richmond for 3 years, and they had like 22,000. And at that point, I was doing the marketing stuff and was with the company that was producing the NCAA telecast. Mm-hmm. So I came to Richmond to be a part of the coordinating production of the telecast and was just overwhelmed, you know, by City Stadium and the environment and the experience. And so that was kind of a predecessor to eventually now helping run a team at City Stadium. But what happened was, you know, Rob tried to put together an ownership group to basically move the pro side further than it could be just connected to a youth side.
Yeah.
And it made sense for a lot of reasons. And so the original investor group are other college teammates of ours. And the more they talked to me about it, the more they told me about it, the more I felt like I could do my small part to help this club move forward. It's just something, it was something I had to go for.
Okay, all right. So I have a couple of listener questions they wanted me to ask you. So the first question is, and I forgot the person's name. If you ask a question, just hit me up on Twitter and let me know. Let's see. What is your vision for the club in the sense of how do they look differently at the end of the 2019 season and then in 5 years? So pretty much, how do we look from now to the end of 2019, and then where do you see the club and your grand vision of the club in 5 years?
Yeah, so, you know, we're certainly ambitious, and, you know, anything that's trying to move forward, you never base your future on the past. You honor the past, and I respect the pedigree of this club, and we're in our 27th season, and we've won championships. But at the same time, it is a new ownership group, a new management group. It's a new league. It's almost entirely a brand new team. You got head coach David Buelow in his first full season, came in mid-season last year. So it's a refresh, and in some ways, it's a turnaround. So this first year, a lot of our focus is just reorienting ourselves. And one of the big things that we're trying to do is be community first. And I feel like before, it was in some ways a youth club trying to operate a pro team. And now we can have some flexibility and really run it like a pro franchise. But the first way you do that is do it the right way and get out in the community. Mm-hmm. And so we're very community oriented. We believe in mantras like stronger together. And what I found is this community not only wants the Richmond Kickers to be around, they want it to thrive, not just survive. And so when I go and meet with like people like VCU and U of R and the Squirrels and the Raceway and Sports Backers and the Senior Golf Tour, they're like, thank you for coming to us. And the community people we're talking to as well are doing the same thing. So a lot of our focus this year is let's just be a great asset and let's listen and let's improve as a result. And then people will help you. Mm-hmm. So I have a great example for that. So Charlie Slagle, who was my coach at Davidson, Rob Ucrop's coach at Davidson, is our vice president of community engagement. You know him, Elliot, because you're working a lot with him on a lot of great projects, including Heritage Night, which I hope you'll talk about more as the podcast goes along. Charlie went to the YMCA and said, hey, we want to come to you and help the YMCA, and we want to help youth soccer in this area. We don't ask any money. We're going to come to you, and we're going to give clinics for all the moms and dads that are sacrificing their time from family to coach youth soccer this spring. We went to them to say that, and then Charlie went to all the local YMCAs and gave these clinics. Nothing expected from it. And it was a great service, and we want to do more of that. What happened is, turn around, they say, we want to help you after that because we did such a good job. They said, how about this? We'll push out a weekly email to our entire spring sports database promoting your games. Great. So you help people, and they want to help you. Mm-hmm. But you don't go in asking for something. You don't go in just selling tickets or asking for handouts and sponsorships. You do it the other way around. You be mission-oriented, value-oriented, community-oriented, and then they're going to help you turn it around. So getting back to your question, I kind of talked a little bit about this first year.
Hey, look,
this first year is getting things right and redoing some things. You know, we're putting significant investment into the stadium. People have seen that. There hasn't been much investment in that stadium. It's a 90-year-old stadium. Nothing really special has happened out there since probably the mid-1990s when it went from turf to grass and they added lights for the College Cup, as I said. But we're putting significant dollars into that. So redoing the parking, the entryway, adding some fun things like, you know, the murals to the bathrooms, adding some new vendors, Gelati Celeste, adding new Kent Winery. The field looks great, better than it has in the past. We added international style goals. We have more signboards, makes it look more professional. not this week's game, but the following game, we'll have these thing called Dream Seats, which will be field level for the teams, which will look super sharp, kind of thing like AC Milan, kind of comfortable seats, you know what I'm talking about. And then we redid the home locker room as well. So we're doing a lot of, and obviously gave the tailgate for for Red Army, Red Army Barracks, they call it.
Yes, and
that was an important reach out to those guys to solidify and hopefully enhance our relationship with them because they're really the heartbeat and the soul of the club.
Okay. So the other question is, let's see. Is there any plans for rebranding the team with new logo and identity? Is there any thoughts on that?
There are hopes and dreams and thoughts moving towards that. We didn't want to be a new ownership group that said we're going to scratch everything and start over. A lot of it here is getting in the community. And for myself and Charlie Slagle, who came from the outside, let's probably do that, but not right away. So let's talk about that with people. What the club means in terms of the mark and the name and the color and the pedigree and the history and the stadium and the past. And let's make sure we understand all that before we make any drastic changes. But yes, everything is up for grabs. And just like our stadium, our general manager, Scott McGuire, I said, don't leave any stone unturned. What do you want? What do we need? What else is people doing? What's special about Richmond? And we made our priorities this year, and we'll move forward with more developments out there. But same thing with the branding and everything else involved. We want to relook at everything and have a fresh perspective and be better.
All right. So this question comes from Scott Hoffman. He actually has two questions. The first question is, are there – planning on releasing an injury list for future matches so that we can see who's available for selection? I think that comes more a taste of people thought Scott Thompson was playing, and then they were like, oh, he's not. Yeah. So any relations on that?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you that the people that know our team well, they know we're going through a little bit of an injury situation right now. And injuries are always a little vague how you release that stuff because you don't want to give, you know, your opponent too much of a heads up.
Yeah.
And so most of that stuff kind of happens internal. There's also kind of game day decisions, frankly. So, you know, a little bit before the game, we have to put in our team of 23, and then we have to put in our 18, you know, the game day, obviously. And some of that kind of comes down to the wire. We have had some significant injuries. We're getting some of those guys back pretty soon, and other guys are healing. Every team goes through injuries. I'm making excuses.
Yeah.
We're just having a lot of them on the front end of the season. And a lot of that's just a coincidence. But we'll be getting guys back, and guys will get better as a result.
And another question from it is, what did you learn during your first match day experience? I heard that you were out there pouring beer. Yeah. So talk about your first real game with the Kickers. How was it?
Yeah.
Did it live up to your expectations, or was it like frantic everything?
Yeah, it was pretty frantic. I'm not going to lie to you. And it was kind of, you know, baptism by fire. And I think I loved it, though. I absolutely enjoyed every second of it. It was high stress, and we had to think on the spot. But I was really proud of our group because we're a pretty lean group in terms of our staff. And everybody's rolled up their sleeves and said, let's solve problems. And that's what a growth mindset does. You don't look at hurdles. You look at them as opportunities and challenges and therein. So a couple big things that happened, people probably saw it or noticed it. One is it was a good problem to have. We had a massive walk-up. And part of that was the Jefferson Cup being in town, a big tournament. Charlie Slagle and I went out to the fields and helped try to get people to come to the game, tell team managers about it. And so we had a great walk-up crowd from the Jefferson Cup, from the high school age player teams that were around. Then we quickly discovered we need another ticket window. We only had two ticket windows, so we'll be adding a third ticket window as of this week and moving forward. Our will call list wasn't identified very clearly. People were having trouble to find that place. So even though we added a second entranceway, people that have pre-bought tickets can come in that way. We thought that would relieve some of the stress getting into the entranceway, to the stadium rather. The other one we need to fix and figure out. We had an internet outage for a little bit. You can imagine what that does.
Yeah.
And it was temporary. Nobody's fault. It just happened. It was kind of one of those things, the bad timing. So all that combined, we had some pretty significant lines coming in. After trying to solve it, what we did was let's be creative. Let's have to find some solutions. So we went out. Charlie Slagle, Rob Ucrop, and I were out talking to people and basically selling tickets for cash. Anybody wants to come in? Here's a reduced rate because of the pain you've been in the line for a little bit. People appreciated that. They didn't know who I was. I don't care about my title, but they appreciate people being out there talking to them, explaining what our problems were, and we're helpful to work with you. And so we flushed people in pretty well that way. The other big line was the beer line. So the Red Army knows this. I put it on there as well. We had planned to do two different locations for the first time ever, two beer trucks, obviously a beer truck and a beer van on either side of the concourse. We thought a certain staff group was going to be able to manage it. We found out right before the game they could not manage it, so we did not have our volunteers ready for that. So we had to quickly shift some volunteers, myself included. We also had to shut down the other beer side, couldn't have volunteers for that. So instead of going to two beer trucks, we only had to go to one. And in that one, among others in pouring beer, were myself, my wife, my brother, my oldest son, my niece, and a couple of the random people I picked up. So
it had to be the experience to be able to pour a beer with your son right beside you.
So it was one of those things that, again, you just figure it out. And we'll work on all those things. Our process will get better day by day. And that's what you do. You just keep getting better.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys. I have a question. Did you ever have a shirt that doesn't fit quite right or just not stylish enough anymore? Well, I can solve that problem for you. Go check out AtomicLotusApparel.com to find an awesome design for t-shirts at a great price. Also, while you're on the site, go check out the new River City 93 t-shirt and tell us what you think about it. So this next question comes from Bill Qureshi and, Bilal Qureshi. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. He wants to know, do the Kickers plan on working with Richmond City and Henrico and Chesterfield in regards to implementing organic football opportunities for kids in the area? He says there are many unused tennis courts around Richmond that can be turned into futsal courts for youth to play for free and camps. So your thoughts on that?
Those are great ideas. And it was a Bilal, I believe you pronounced it. I would love to follow Bilal after this. So Bilal, please contact me, reach me however you want to. Anybody can, my email's on the website, mspear@richmondkickers.com. We can have a conversation anytime you want to. I think one of the surprises maybe to Elliot when I first called him, so story how Elliot and I got to know each other, an email got forwarded to me for some reason, and I was in the car on a long drive, and I just called Elliot, and he was surprised. We had a 30-minute conversation, and that's how things started kind of charting for us together. But I'd love to talk to Blau about this. You know, soccer is the most global phenomenon. I will argue that to the end of the day that nothing else combines the world more like soccer, which is, and it also can do that here in Richmond. And its ability and reach to impact people is incredibly powerful. And so you're talking about, Blau is about trying to level the field and have more access to the sport. There's no question one of our challenges and problems in the U.S. is it has been, unfortunately, too upper middle class oriented in terms of pay to play. We want to get away from that and provide more access to people and let this sport really unify people. Whether they become a professional player or a serious player, doesn't matter. Let the sport really grow itself from the grassroots. And so, yes, turning unused tennis courts, unused basketball courts into futsal would be brilliant. And that takes some corporate partnerships, that takes the city involved, it takes the counties involved, it takes the rec departments involved, but those are all examples that we'd love to do. U.S. Soccer actually has some grants that we're going to look into to help part of that process. Another example of it is folks may know of a program called Street Soccer. Mm-hmm. So Street Soccer was founded by a guy named Lawrence Cam, who grew up in Richmond, played for Davidson, all right, and then had this dream that when he was living and working in downtown Charlotte is, how can we use soccer to help people that may have not had access to it and let them have a vehicle in their personal growth? So his first targeted demographic was homeless men, and that started in Charlotte. He's now grown that program to over 15 cities, Richmond included. The manifestation of it here in Richmond is it's actually coached a team called THP, run by Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell with TotalSoccerShow.com, and they help people, men and women, who are having some struggles, substance abuse or otherwise, and soccer is a team that can play on and build out their life with soccer as a support. Yeah. And so that's another example of that, and we want to combine more with street soccer, with the idea that Bilal is talking about. We also have RBA Access, which is an amazing program that works with over 150 special needs kids. They have spring and fall league, and we're actually going to have their practice and training session and games at City Stadium on Sunday afternoon, which would be pretty cool for the kids.
Yeah, so what it sounds like we are talking about is how basketball had this phenomenon mm-hmm. during the 70s and 80s mm-hmm. where, you know, up in New York, you heard about Rutgers Park, you heard about Harlem Park, mm-hmm. and how that kind of fused itself into the NBA. Mm-hmm. What it sounds like you're saying is kind of, but you want that same explosion of culture with the futsal courts, mm-hmm. kind of being the same basis for Richmond.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough, Elle, you don't know this story, but like when you, you know, growing up, like following play, you know, in the 70s and 80s and being just a fan of the old NESL days. And anyway, I say all that because I grew up, no media about soccer or no TV really about soccer, but hearing about the rest of the world and how much it was ingrained in their culture. So a couple of early experiences for me that kind of shaped me in terms of the sport. In fifth grade, I went to Mexico City, lived with a family for a couple of weeks on a school program, went to the Azteca, which is kind of the hallowed ground of soccer in Central America, particularly Mexico, which is overwhelmed. You know, it holds 100,000 people and spilling into the seats, et cetera, or the streets, et cetera. From there, at high school, my high school team went over to England, watched a, they weren't even premiership at that point, it was late 80s, but watched a game at Wimbledon, just saw pro soccer in an English-speaking country. That was overwhelming for me. And then in college, among other things, I went to the World Cup in 1990, and was able to see 10 games in 12 days with some teammates, and then head coach Charlie Slagle at Davidson, who's now with us now, running our community engagement for the Kickers Pro side. All those things kind of shaped me. Then the 94 World Cup over in the States, and how that just broke every record out of the blue in terms of attendance records. Went to the World Cup in France in 98. So all these things for me are kind of like building pieces in my growth of love and appreciation for the sport and how global and interactive it is. So all that kind of translates, like, this is an incredible opportunity in Richmond. Very diverse population, tons of growth and acceleration with RVA and otherwise. Great partnerships around the city. Not a major league team here per se, so there's not one thing that trumpets everything else. Lots of schools and colleges. So this Saturday is college night, so we've reached out to all the local colleges and universities around here. Just got great news today from the athletic director at VCU that he's going to push out college night to all the coaches and student athletes at VCU, that they know about the special ticket price for $10 coming to the game. Hopefully all the students that come to our game on Saturday, the Saturday April 6th, will sit in the party deck, which is our new hospitality area behind the goal in front of the scoreboard. So usually we'll do that with partners and corporate sponsors. We're going to have just college students over there. They have their own area to kind of yell and get into the game, that kind of thing. So any college kids that hear this story or find out about this, we want you to go sit in the party deck, which is the area behind the goal in front of the scoreboard.
I think college students and party deck are like a perfect
merger. Yeah. Merger. Absolutely.
So last couple of questions from Keith Comanche. He wants to know, since now that we are in League One, are they keeping the tradition of a summer friendly against a Euro team? I know we have the game against Lionsbridge, and any talks of any preliminary talks of having a European team over here?
There are certainly talks, and one thing that I've tried to do is look at the partnerships and relationships that the club has worked with in the past, and take in what worked and what didn't work, and so I've done a lot of that scrutiny. And now we're looking at clubs for this summer as well. And we do aim to do an international friendly, and we'll hope to announce that fairly soon.
Any, not team, but any country?
Can't do that yet. got a couple different ideas and scenarios. And until the contract is signed, we can't do any kind of announcement, even on your show.
I'm willing
to break it with you later on.
All right, gotcha. All right, so his next question is there any talks of any Kickers branding giveaways, like hats, balls, bobbleheads, that the team will possibly look at a giveaway at games?
Yeah, we do have a list of giveaways, and I can get that out to that individual on our website, because every game we have a theme night. So I want to talk about Heritage Nights before we get off this show. You know, this week is college night. The other game, first game, March 30th, we gave out schedule cards. People coming and going into the game. So we do have giveaways. Certainly open for ideas. Again, email me, mspear@richmondkickers.com with ideas. Or if you're a potential sponsor or a vendor or you have a clever idea, let us know. I also want to say that our merchandise tent this Saturday will have our new merchandise being launched. And so we're doing our first wave of new gear, hats and shirts and sweatshirts that'll be launched on Saturday at the game. So check that out.
And his last question is, he wants to know, Kerrytown Burgers, where are they? I would love to have them back.
Kerrytown Burgers, man. I don't see these questions before they come up. Kerrytown Burgers has worked with us in the past. I know that's an ongoing partnership relationship that we're trying to work out with them. We do have some vendors back from last year, including Papa John's, Dippin' Dots, Four Brothers, Sticks. We also added Premium Beverage that does our beer. And then we added New Kent Winery, Gelati Celesti. Looking for a coffee partner. If you know a coffee partner out there that has a coffee truck that wants to come in, talked to a couple of folks, but haven't decided on who will be the best one yet. But always looking at new vendor possibilities.
And the last question is from John Osborne. He wants to know about Short Corners. How do you feel about them?
Yeah.
P.S. Short Corners suck.
Yeah. I think he actually uses another word it rhymes with suck that I've seen on his Red Army pages. John, great question. I can tell you a couple of different ways to answer that question. There's so many ways to do set pieces. I don't believe as a soccer guy there's necessarily one way because every situation is different. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the head coach, and so I can't speak for Coach Bulo, but I can say we have different ways to attack corners. Sometimes it's launching the box. Sometimes it's short. They all kind of feed off each other. Part of it is down to the situation. What is the team you're playing? How do they defend corners? Is it zonal? Is it man-on-man? Do they send guys out if you send guys out? A lot of times you play short corners as well is to make them uncomfortable and pull them out of their shape. So a lot of teams will just bunker in and put 9-10 bodies around their goal mouth. You don't want to serve a ball in there because there's nearly no space to play into. But if you play short or go like you're going to play short, they have to bring guys out, and then there's more space to run into and more opportunities to have the ball in that area with more lanes running into. So, John, I hear you. Loud and clear, your vote has been tallied, and we take it very seriously.
All right. Well, anything else you want to add to the podcast? Anything else you want to say?
First of all, Elliot, thank you for doing this because you're putting a lot of your own time and effort into this. And thank your wife as well for me for the sacrifice of the time you could be spending with her. And you're a teacher as well. So you're an educator, and I have a lot of respect for educators. My dad was a longtime teacher. My mom's a librarian. So one of my brothers is a college professor. So I really respect education and people that are involved in education. You guys, honestly, at least in the public school system, I know because my dad was a longtime public high school teacher after being a college professor, and you deserve more. So thank you. And before we get off, can you tell the group a little bit about Heritage tonight what you're working on?
So for those who don't know, September 14th, I reached out to the Richmond Kickers before the season started about doing a cultural / Heritage night, which would pretty much bring the Black, Latin American, the Asian, the Muslim communities, and other minority groups out to Richmond Kickers game. Because I hate to say it, but when you go out to Richmond Kickers game, there's not a lot of scene diversity. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I reached out to Matt Spear about, you know, having an idea of this kind of night. Excuse me. And it kind of just started from there. Working with Charlie Slagle. We've reached out to various alumni organizations from HBCUs, which stands for Historical Black College and Universities. We are donating money from ticket sales and t-shirt sales to three organizations, Richmond Conexiones, also known as El Campo, who works in South Richmond with Latin Americans. Helping them, they run their own soccer clinic free of charge, and they actually ask for donations. By the way, if you go to the Red Army Barracks, we have a donation center set up, so if you want to donate shin guards, cleats, soccer balls, anything of that nation, it will be sent to Richmond Conexiones, who actually give it to their players at the end of the camp. We're also partnering with the Black History Museum here in Richmond. And then we are also looking to partner with a third organization, My Fraternity's Education Foundation. And this night, I have a bigger vision for it, you know, but just having the basis and knowing that you have a club that not only supports your dreams, but also wants to give back into the community. Because you have a lot of organizations that want to give back to the community, but they want something in return. Mm-hmm. And the Kickers, for what I've seen and the people that I'm working with, not only in the organization, but outside the organization, it seems like everything's at face value. They want
the best for what's for the city of Richmond. So we're looking forward to that on September 14th. I think we play four at Madison. So hopefully by then we'll secure the playoff position. My last question. What's your expectations for this year? I know you don't want to go over Coach Blau, sure. But what are your expectations on and off the field for the team?
Yeah, David Beulah. Make sure we get his name right. So, you know, obviously it's a tough start this season in terms of the 3-2 loss. You know, injury unrelated. You always want to start with a win, and you want to, you know, spark a good season. It's a 28-game season, so there's plenty of time, obviously, and I think one of the things about this new league is there's no benchmark. No one really knew anything about each other, so everyone's kind of going in fairly blind. David Beulah, who I have a lot of respect for, young, eager, smart, driven young coach. He's got a lot of great ideas. It's going to take him a little bit of time. You know, this is his first full year as a head coach. I mean, he got thrown into a fire last year. It wasn't his team. It wasn't his style of play. And he has a certain method. And he's got guys that have bought into that and enjoy his message, but it's going to take a little bit of time to play it out. And so patience is always key. Just like I'm going into this job with patience and understanding it's going to be, you know, a lot of work. But the season is young, and we'll get better each day.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have. Anything else you want to wrap up with? It seemed like we could go on for hours and hours about this, but I thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sir. And with that being said, guys, we will catch you on the good side.